How exciting it must have been for those three disciples. Lord, at times our faith becomes stagnant. At times we say, oh, I've been there, I've done that, there's nothing new. But Lord, we pray that having been together today, having worshiped you, that there may be something new and fresh that we may gain today that may help us in our daily living. We pray that you may speak to each of us the words that we need to hear today. And we ask this all in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
Most of us have probably heard the adage, a picture is worth a thousand words, meaning that so much information can be communicated through just one image. The same concept can be applied to cultural icons. The faces of well-known people can represent campaigns, organizations, or even concepts and ideas. For example, Einstein is the face of science. Martin Luther King Jr., the face of civil rights. Abraham Lincoln, freedom. Shakespeare, literature. Sigmund Freud, psychology. Beethoven, music. Tom Brady, the Patriots. David Ortiz, the Red Sox. But since his retirement, who will be the new face of the Red Sox? We could spend an hour or more compiling a list of persons for whom their face represents a category of society. But let's not spend that amount of time doing that. But let's turn to the Bible for a moment. Moses is the face of the law. And Elijah is the face of the prophets. Imagine what it would be like if some of these iconic figures from the ages and disciplines were to meet together. And how that would be and how you would say that. But this brings us to the mountaintop experience where Peter, James, and John are witnesses to a sort of encounter, divine encounter, of three biblical icons. Today is Transfiguration Sunday. Not something that probably most of us in Baptist churches follow, but in the church calendar, it is Transfiguration Sunday, the last Sunday before Ash Wednesday and before Lent begins. So on the mountain of the Transfiguration, we see three people. These are Moses, Elijah, and Jesus. Thanks to several Hollywood movies, many of us have some, although perhaps slightly distorted, knowledge of Moses. We know that he met God in a burning bush, parted the Red Sea, and led the people through the wilderness. We may even understand how being known as the face of the law makes sense, because he is the one who received the Ten Commandments, not once, but at least twice, from God. Elijah, on the other hand, may not be as well known. He is not the author of an Old Testament book like Isaiah or Jeremiah. We read about Elijah in 1 and 2 Kings. Elijah arrived on the scene when Israel's kings compromised the faith and for political expediency. He spoke for God tirelessly, calling the people and their leaders away from worship of the pagan god Baal and back to the worship of the one true God. When God told him a drought is coming because of the people's unfaithfulness, Elijah announced it to the people. During the drought, God miraculously saved Elijah through the faithfulness of a widow. He challenged the prophets of Baal, asking them to have their God send fire down to consume their sacrifice. After a long time of trying without success, the prophets of Baal conceded defeat. And then Elijah prepared his sacrifice, which included dousing the sacrifice, the wood, and the stones with three applications of water. So much water that it overflowed into trenches around the altar. Then Elijah prayed, and God answered. Fire came down and consumed the sacrificial bull and the wood, and it turned the stones of the altar to dust and caused the water in the trenches to evaporate into a mist. No prophet in Israel had produced, at God's insistence, that kind of sound and light show. Elijah risked his life and his reputation to speak for God. He feared for his life regularly, as God's message was not always well received by the people. Twice Elijah fled out of town. Each time he seemed doomed, but God met him in a wonderful, powerful way. What Moses and Elijah have in common is they each had a very special relationship with God. For example, while Moses was leading the people through the wilderness, he had a moment of discouragement. He asked for a sign of God's power, to see God's glory. Now, the understanding at that time was that you could not see God because you would die. It was so powerful and that you would die if you saw God. But God answered Moses by passing by Moses, allowing Moses to see God's back, or perhaps a better translation would be to see where God had been, to sort of see like the trail of him, which was safe for him to do. Same thing, if you remember the burning bush, you know, God said, turn away. Don't look at me directly, for I am so holy, so powerful. So God answered Moses in this time of despair that he needed to know that God was real. Instead of allowing Moses to see him directly, God said, you know, God passed by him and allowed Moses to see his trailing image. Elijah had a similar encounter. While he hid in a cave, God came to Elijah, not in a fire, not in an earthquake or a mighty wind, but in a still, small voice of calm. In today's scripture, the face of the law, Moses, and the face of the prophets, Elijah, the two who have come closest to seeing God, are on Transfiguration Mountain, talking to Jesus, the face of the good news. I want us to take a moment to look closer at the concepts that Moses and Elijah represent. When we think of the law, we often think of things that are restrictive, those thou shalt nots part of the law, that keep us from doing what we want to do. But laws are necessary. They help us relate to one another and to be the people God has called us to be. Anyone who has ever sat through the anarchy of a traffic jam and prayed for the police to show up knows how helpful laws can be. Or whenever we have gone shopping on a post-Thanksgiving Black Friday sales, where people are pushing and shoving for the deal of the day or the deal of the hour, we long for some law and order. Every government in the history of humankind has had some system of law. Without law, there is anarchy. No society has been born and survived without the rule of law. The type of government or economic system is not relevant. Democracy, monarchy, oligarchy, totalitarian, communism, fascism, socialism, capitalism, they all include laws. Even when we're having fun, there are rules or laws. Every game or sport has rules. From the professional down to the board games we play with our family around the table, there are rules involved. We can't even have fun without having laws. It's no different in the kingdom of God. We have rules and regulations and obligations and at least 10 commandments. But like most laws, these laws are in place for our long-term benefit, not as punishment. They show us how to live together and to serve one another. Let's consider the prophets for a moment. In the Old Testament, prophets did not necessarily predict the future. Prophets received special revelations from God for the good of the people, and they were called to share that information. Elijah's predominant message from God was to encourage the people of Israel to return to God and stop worshiping the pagan god. So God told the prophets what to say to the people of God. Some prophets had distinctive messages, and some had distinctive ministries. Many of the prophets, acting as the mouthpiece for God, called the people to repentance. Some called the people of God to lift up the downtrodden and to ease the burden of the oppressed. And some called upon the people of God to return to the worship of the true God and to rebuild the house of worship. Today, some Christians believe that their God-appointed judge of the rules and regulations concerning those who care to be Christians. They feel they are God's mouthpiece, that they are God's prophets for today. And some churches, as an organization of the Lord, have more rules than we can shake a stick at. Some Christians, claiming to be the mouth of God, go on television and soapboxes to prophesy about the end of the world, the Antichrist, and the true meaning of the book of Revelation. Usually it has something to do with the Old Testament book of Daniel. But in Jesus Christ, that third person of on the mountain of transfiguration, we have a perfect response to the law and the prophets, and that response is called good news or gospel. Moses is the face of the law, and he is on the mountain with Jesus. So is Elijah, the face of the prophets. They are there with Jesus, who is the face of the gospel or the good news. So we've met Moses. We've met Elijah. That is, we know the law, and we know that we fail miserably in trying to keep it. We've heard the prophet, and we know that we've been called to holiness. We know that we've failed miserably to live righteously, as we should. Now we need to meet Jesus. He kept the law of God perfectly, and he lived a life of holiness perfectly. And the wonderful part is that God has agreed to accept his perfection on our part. Now we are free from the law and free from religious obligations. This does not mean that we are lawless or have no obligations. Even Jesus said that he did not come to destroy the law. No, because someone has kept the law for us when we could not keep it ourselves. We are able to follow Jesus and serve God motivated by love and thanksgiving. The law and the prophets have been fulfilled in Christ, who calls us to new life in him. We will soon begin our Lenten journey to the cross. Perhaps Jesus' conversation with Moses and Elijah was about that very journey. Luke sort of intimates that. Something else I picked up as Dottie was reading that I hadn't picked up before, but sometimes, you know, when you hear scripture read and you're not reading it yourself, you pick up on different things, and that the disciples were sleeping as this transfiguration was taking place and they woke up. But it reminded me of being in the garden as well, and we need to be careful that we are not sleeping at times when important things are taking place for our faith journey as well. But in this story of the transfiguration, the face of the law and the face of the prophets meet the one who is the face of the good news that offers us forgiveness, that offers us salvation. In Jesus, the law and the prophets come together, and we are set free. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for the freedom that comes through Christ. We know that we have not done something to earn that, but it's freely given. That Jesus has paid the price for us. He has obeyed the law when we could not and cannot. Forgive us, Lord, when we find ourselves dozing and sleeping when we should be awake and paying attention. Like those disciples, Lord, we wake up. We recognize what's taking place that took place in their presence is this coming together of Old Testament law and prophets with Jesus, the face of the good news. Lord, we pray that we may be ambassadors of that good news, carrying that message to others, those especially who have not heard it or need to have a refresher course in hearing it again. Lord, there is so much negativity taking place in our society right now. Help us to be messengers of good news, of positive things, of ways Christ is touching our lives and working in our lives and sharing that with others that may need that hope as well. We ask all of this in the name and power of Christ. Amen.